good singing all the way around. Let me see if I can get this button here turned on. Everything I've got hurts. I appreciate getting to live this long. I just don't know what I would have missed if I hadn't. And so I'm sure it's going to get better, maybe after it gets worse, but nonetheless. Take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of Ezekiel tonight. We'll be looking in the book of Ezekiel. And chapter number 9, we'll be looking there, reading the passage. And then we'll be reading again from back over here in 1 Peter chapter number 4 that we read this morning. And so if you find the place for reading tonight, we'll look in Ezekiel chapter number 9. And it's in about verse number 5 and 6. Let's begin there. And to the others he said in mine hearing, go after him and through the city and smite, and let your eyes spare, and let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children, and women, and come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. And then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and as we get ready to speak tonight, may you speak to our hearts. We thank you for loving us even while we were unlovable. We pray your blessing now upon these that we've heard, that have recently gotten saved, those whose lives have been changed. And we pray for that soul that's nearest hell tonight. Thank you, Lord, for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight and being able to tie up on two to whatever went on this morning. I've got a sermon entitled somewhere out of Ezekiel 9 about would you have received a mark? And that's a good title because the Bible said that there was one with the inkhorn that was going through by the command of the Lord and putting a mark upon those that belonged to God. And the slaughtering men were behind with slaughter weapons, and they went behind. And everybody that did not receive a mark, they slew them. I want to say that, if you will, that God doesn't think the way that you and I think. He doesn't act the way you and I act. And I want you to notice in verse number five that we read, verse number 6, slay utterly the old, the young, both maids and little children and women, and come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. That's down at the house of God. Now I want you to watch this, is that you're thinking, well now, why would God want to slay those little children in snow? I'll tell you why, is because of mamas and daddies. Nobody likes to face that music. Somebody said, oh, well, surely they wouldn't judge my kid for me. That Bible said in the book of Exodus in chapter number 20 and over there in about verse number 5, he said that he would visit the iniquity of the fathers upon their children to the third and fourth generation. And I'm going to tell you something right now. This world's went to hell in a handbasket ever since that a kid found out that mom and daddy could not discipline them or spank them without breaking and violating the law, and when they wanted to call the law on their mamas and daddies for giving them some corporal punishment. I want to tell you, in this day and hour that we're living in, make no mistake about it, I remember way back then, you know, there's a lot of changes been wrought in this land since I've been here in the world. And let me tell you right now, is that they was one or two of them guys, you know, rough, hard-nosed. And said, I came in, my kid wanted to be sassy. I picked up the phone. I said, here, you're going to need this when I get done with you. And there's the sheriff's office number right there. See, we've lost something about being in authority in the day and hour that we're living in. You know, the average Baptist man, believes only what his wife will let him believe. Practices only what she'll let him practice. I've lost many a member over that statement. I'm not talking about you good women here tonight. No, come on back in, ma'am. No, everybody's looking at the door. I'm a lot nicer than I used to be. Look at some of them old sermons way back when, but it makes me want to get saved. in this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out. Can you imagine starting out at the house of God and the slaughter that'll be great, and the slaughter that'll be many, and the slain that'll be many? Over there in the text that we read this morning, remember that? It was in 1 Peter in chapter number 4, and we read about, I don't know, three or four passages there, and he talked about that judgment must begin at the house of God. That's what he's talking about. Now, let me tell you right now, if you and I that are saved, that have been faithful to God, living for God, and walking with God, doing the best we can to follow the word of the Lord, if we scarcely be saved, wherein does the ungodly stand? There's no hope for them at all. Look at your Bible over there in the book of Exodus. I think it's in chapter 22, but let's look at it and see real quickly. In the book of Exodus, in chapter number 22. Exodus in chapter number 22. In fact, as I was watching there, Tanner, as he was leading the singing tonight, good job leading the singing, by the way. You may, one of these days, you know, you may have to lead the singing wherever you're going to church at. You may be the song leader. And then you may be the preacher on top of that. And then if there's anybody tithes or gives, it may be you too. And but hey, don't fret. I've been there and done that. And that, in fact, is there's been a lot of time I was preaching real hot and heavy, you know, preaching to my wife and all that. And I was hoping, wishing she was going to put more money in this time. But it didn't happen. In the book of Exodus, the Bible says over there, Ezekiel, not Exodus, Ezekiel. And in the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 22 and about verse number 28, and somebody every now and again hits this a lick, and they ought to. And the Bible says, and her prophets, and here's what's wrong with the prophets of Israel and what ended up happening. They've daubed them with untempered mortar. That's mortar that when it dries out, it's going to fall apart. That means that it doesn't have anything. It's vanity. And they divine and lies unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. We live in a world that way. And the people of the land have used oppression, and he said, exercise robbery, and they vex the poor and the needy, and yea, they've oppressed the stranger wrongfully. All right, listen in verse number 30 and 31. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. In other words, the world was on the brink of destruction. They had listened to lies so long, they got to where they believed their own lies. And God said, I sought for a man. I'm going to tell you, it's going to take a real man to stand up against the tide of this world and what's going on. In this lesson there in verse number 31, he said, therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I've consumed them with fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their head, saith the Lord God. And I'm going to tell you something. Whenever I'm praying for rain, I walk outside and I say, dear God, we don't even deserve one drop, but please have mercy and let it rain on us. How about giving us a little bit of refreshing? And Lord, let the windows of heaven, you let in the days of Elijah, ye saw a cloud about the size of a man's hand. Dear God, hear our prayer, though that we are not deserving of one drop of water. I'm going to tell you something right now is that our God is the Lord that is in. He's altogether holy. He's altogether right. He's altogether lovely. Let me tell you something. And there is the grace of God, and there also is the severity of God. And in the day we live in, upon our land, I think we're seeing the severity of it. I can't tell you how many times is that, you know, they'll tell you, text Jesse Waters. I tried that. It didn't work none. They'll tell you about another one, you know, that you ought to text this or write that. And so I've tried all that, and you won't never get a hold of none of them. I got to say to you that when you begin to look into the Bible, that the world is no doubt held together with some untempered mortar and religion. We got a president that's got an ugly mugshot and a nasty-looking hairdo. But I do believe that he loves America. And I do believe that he loves women. He's proved himself with several. Now, is he anything to brag on? Not at all. Not at all. But I guarantee you right now I believe that he's got some good ideas that'll help America, that we were in better shape then than we certainly are now. And of course, the people that are bragging on him, that are saying that same thing, then they turn around and call on a lesbian to back up what they're saying. Or call upon a queer man to back up what they're saying. No wonder. I bet you that we're the laughing stock of the world right now with that bumbling idiot Biden and all of his cabinet. I got to tell you right now, I've seen people, you know, I've seen up and down the road, every now and again you'll see something out there that's got four legs, long ears, and yaw, yaw, yaw. I've never seen a jackass that is as annoying and has as little sense as Kamala Harris does. Now, I realize that may be not a nice thing to say because it's the truth. You see what I'm talking about? I mean, black folks know that she's crazy. That's right. There's one, I forget what his name was, and I ought to try to remember it, but I can't. I don't know a lot of black people, but I like one or two of them that I do know, and the rest of them, you know, I don't. I mean, just I got to tell you, but it's not because they're black. Somebody want to know about that Ramasaki Wamahuka, what's his name, whatever his name is. He ain't got a Chinaman's chance. He don't. Fact is, he don't have the heart of an American, though he be an American himself. I guarantee you he don't. And let me tell you something, anybody that ever breathes a hint against Israel and being an enemy against the Israelite, you better run from them and holler snake as you run backward. I got to say that as we begin to look into this Bible, you'll find that black man that I was going to tell you about is that he got on and he was in an argument and a heated battle. Kamala wanted to, if she had the authority, give reparations to people that had slaves. And he's written a book and he said, I know some black men in history that had several slaves. Should we demand them to pay reparations to the slaves they had? Now, what they did, they wanted to cut him off, discredit his book and all of that business there. They don't want that. They're not. If tonight, you and I, all of us in this room right here, let's just say we could discover the greatest thing, and I'd do it. If I could discover it and die tomorrow, I would. But if you just, they says every time you go to MD Anderson, they got the word cancer, they got a line drawn through it. Because they're going to stamp out cancer. If you could stamp out cancer tonight, you wouldn't be alive this time next week. Too much money in it. I'm glad for everything that we've made in the way of progress. I'm glad for the modern medicine. I'm glad for the treatment. I'm glad that there's some hope that we used to not have. If you don't believe that, you look at a bunch of those I like to watch old westerns, and every now and again there'll be some young lady on there or some, well, as old as maybe the lady there, the Christian woman. What's her name? Kitty, that runs a saloon. That's the kind of thinking we've gotten in the day we live in. And anyhow, is that every now and again there'll be somebody, and here's one that comes to mind. I look at Norma Crane. She plays on Gunsmoke every now and again. Not a bad looking lady and so forth and on. And I like, you know, of course, naturally on what I do a lot of is I try to find out when their birthday was, how old they were when they died. It's depressing. I go to thinking, my word, I'm already twice as old as that person was when they died. And anyhow, the long and short, I wondered what she died from, so I looked that up, cancer. Now, I forget if it was, you know, leukemia, I forget if it was breast cancer, I forget which mode, but there's several of them that are like that, died in their 40s. So let me tell you, when I say something against MD Anderson or cancer slogans and things of that nature, I don't mean it ugly, I'm just trying to tell you, we've come a long ways since way back then. I want to tell you something when you begin to look into it. I thought y'all for a minute was going to think I was going to talk about that 7-minute cigarette that says, we've come a long ways, baby. Y'all don't remember that? See, I forget every now and again I'm preaching to young people. Brother John, Miss Eve, they might would remember it. Brother Nolan ought to remember it. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into it, is that the Lord, he looked at the condition of the country. And let me say to you that, if you will, that Israel did not get to where they were hard and cold and callous just overnight. They had to turn their ear against a lot of Bible preaching. And I got to tell you something, is that just because that I'm not around to see it or to call you on the mat for it, the word of the Lord will never be the same. One of these days we're going to be wondering, why, dear God, why? Why? I'll tell you why. Why would God wipe out like in Maui? Let me tell you, that's the hand of God. I don't mean that to be ugly, and I don't mean that against anybody, but I just tell you right now, that's the reason why they're all standing in awe. They can't imagine. They're trying to find some exclamation. I'll tell you what it is. The hand of God, buddy, has swept through that place. These towns that have been destroyed by tornadoes, these people, you know, that have had catastrophic things that have happened that's beyond the control of humanity, and they're all standing out wondering, why? Why has that happened? I'll tell you why. It's because of people that have been in the house of God all these years and gave no heed to the word of the Lord. That's the truth. That's the truth of the matter. I want to say in closing tonight that, if you will, what a sad message it was. There's let me go ahead and jump on two or three things here. Let me see. I don't have it written down, so I'm trying to depend on my memory. There's a little girl. There's a little girl that died with cancer. Her name was Amris. Have you seen this commercial? And the man and his wife is there, and this is their baby, and this is their little girl. Her name is Amris, something like that. Anyhow. And it's either with St. Luke's or one of those places that are there. Anyhow, they took her to that children's hospital, and she was, I don't know, 4 or 5. He noticed some kind of a stance and standing crooked. And finally, they went, and she had some kind of cancer, ATR or something. You know what I'm talking about, anyhow, and it was incurable. And lo and behold, that if it didn't get it cured. And then she was cancer-free. 5 years later, it showed back up. 5 years later, that little girl there, and happy, and I nearly break down and cry every time I look at it. You'd think I'd go ahead and take that off. But I don't have it taped. I just, every now and again, it shows up on one of those Gunsmoke channels or Laramie channels or one of them other good Christian channels. And anyhow, the long and short, it came back on her, and then after a result of that, she ended up dying. It prolonged her life, but she ended up dying. I want to say to you that, if you will, please, is that there's a lot of that goes on, and I wonder how it angers God. Brother Eddie and I were talking the other day, and there's one called the Mercy Ship. I wouldn't even spit their direction. I've been watching that Mercy Ship. Takes those kids that got a hair lip and their teeth all hanging out and their jaws all met. I've been looking at some of them same kids for 10 years. See what I'm talking about? I got to say to you that, if you will, there's a lot of money that's raised fraudulently under the guise of wanting to help somebody else. You read over in the book of James, chapter number 5, he said one of these days their riches that they've heaped together that are moth-eaten, he said he's going to cry fraud against them. Fraud against them. That woman that gets on there, she's crying about them old Jewish women. There's about 4 or 5 of them, and they're all of them crying because they were in the Holocaust and this and that. Well, my word, you can't just go grab up some fat Jew woman off the street, teach her how to cry and give her stuff, try and get people to give money into it, and it not offend God. I want to say in closing here tonight that, if you will, please, is that there's a moment of pause in the text that we've read tonight, and here's what he said: I'm going to send these destroying weapons through, beginning at the sanctuary, the house of God. And I'm going to slay the old and the young, the women and the men, the maids and so forth, and I'll begin at the Ancient of Days. Now, you know what that means? He's starting with people that knew better and should have been living better, but they didn't do better. See? And here's the thing, you're pretty much a loner whenever you start by yourself and you have to walk by yourself. These are people that finally, if you read over there in the book of Jeremiah in chapter number 7, these are people that got past the point of no return. And God said to Jeremiah, I want you to proclaim this against them and pray not at all for this people. I'm not going to hear nothing in their behalf. And I don't know about you, but I'd hate to get on that side of the fence from God, wouldn't you? Not only do I want people to pray for me, I want God to hear it in my behalf. I want it to make me a better person. I want it to make it a better leader, to be a better example. You see what I'm talking about? But we live in a day to where that's no concern whatsoever anymore. Can I give you this last little thing right here? Anytime a boy walks in, if his name is Larry and he looks like Lucy, something's wrong in that family. Well, what if there's two boys? Well, one of them's name's Lonnie, but he looks like Linda. What about these girls? Huh? They get that dye haircut, you know, and slid back, and, you know, then just comb over there. And I mean, just look wild as a lesbian. You know, that's just a perverted thinking, isn't it? I remember whenever I was growing up working with these godless, wicked, ungodly people, same people you're having to work with now, except you're having to work with probably a lower class, and that's not no fault of your own. I'm just telling you, that's how corrupt the world is out there. And people say stuff, and they say, you know, like, and of course it's going to be funny. It's funny to you. It'll be funny. And he said, oh, well, my wife left me. I said, really? Yeah, she ran off with some, I can't tell you exactly what he said, but this is some lesbian. He said, I don't blame her. He said, if I was her, I would have run off. She got with a good-looking gal. And I thought to myself, you poor, twisted-minded, deluded, perverted thinking. I don't care how good-looking that she is. Huh? I said, well, that's terrible. Oh, no. Nah. He said, my word. He said, she's always been that way. And said, I'm just now finding it out and learning to live with it. Well, go get you another bottle of whatever it is you're learning to live with and suck it right on down. Like I can smell it all over you and coming out of your pores. We live in a messed up world that no wonder God won't hear us praying. It'd be sort of like the man that got up and he said, Lord, forgive us of our many sins. And the preacher stopped and said, wait a minute. When you say many, do you spell many M-A-N-Y or M-I-N-I? Well, I guarantee you, we got away from the M-A-N-Y a long time ago. Now, Lord, it's just a little thing. In the day we live in the sight of God, there's no big sin. There's no little sin. And anything that's contrary to the mind of God is going to be sin. It's going to be sin. Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed. Our Father, we thank you for loving us. We ask your blessings now upon this message as we've given tonight. And Lord, I pray you'd help us. Help our men to be men, these ladies to be godly women. Thank you for souls you've saved, lives you've changed. Give us real revival in our heart. In Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.